the power of God. And running kind of parallel with that, I believe it's important that we understand and grow in our faith. Because one of the things that it seems to me as you look through the Bible is that faith is key. If you and I are going to experience what God has for us, faith is essential. So we can look at the Bible, we can understand, we can see the things that God says in the Bible, but unless I use my faith to appropriate, to take for myself and make my own what God says about me and about what God has for me, those things will remain theoretical Christianity. And I just feel for myself, many of us, a lot of stuff remains theoretical for Christianity. And God wants us to grow in faith that what is theoretical Christianity will become my experiential. I think I've said a number of times, I really do believe it, that the Christian faith is an experiential faith. It isn't something academic, something rigorously we can look at with our minds, absolutely, but it's not something that remains a philosophy. It's something which very much is an experience for us. And as we look at what the Bible says about faith, one thing you can see is it's absolutely foundational. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2, the writer of the Hebrews is there saying that faith is one of the six foundational things. Faith in God is one of the six foundational things. And so it's a foundational thing. But while it's foundational and simple, actually, there's a lot to faith. I really believe that faith is one of those multifaceted truths. And we likened it in previous weeks to a diamond. And if you look at a diamond, you can look at one face of the diamond, and it can be beautiful. And you can see all kinds of colors and reflections and refractions in the face of a diamond. Beautiful. But then if you just turn a little bit more, there's another face, and you see more colours and more kind of character in that diamond. And the beauty of a diamond is that it's multifaceted. And that as you turn it round, you can see so much in a diamond. It's not flat. It's not just kind of got a two-dimensional. It's got a beauty about it. And I believe that the truths of God are multifaceted, beautiful things. That aren't just things you can look on a piece of paper and say and write it down and say, there it is, that's it. And that in order to understand Scripture as it teaches us about the truths of God, we really have to come with what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He describes there that how the spiritual person must understand the things of God with spiritual revelation, with the Holy Spirit helping us. In other words, I can't just come with my limited brain power and try and understand God. It's ridiculous to suppose that me as a creature created by God could somehow work out things of God with the limit of my intellect. It's ridiculous. There's no way, obviously, I could do it. But unless the Holy Spirit comes and reveals and shows and illuminates and gives me the capacity to see and understand the wonderful revelation. And that's why I think with a lot of things in Scripture, sometimes we kind of see a kind of angle on something, think, oh, that's it. That's faith. That's what faith is. When really that's just one of the facets of faith. That's not just true of faith, it's true of lots of things in Scripture. And that's why I think there's so many disagreements amongst Christians, different denominations, different groups, where people see a certain thing and think, yes, that's it. That's what it is. And yes, it is, but it's a facet of God's truth and the full revelation. Paul called it the full counsel of God. And I believe that as we look over these weeks, months, we're going to look and try and understand the full counsel of God together on this whole thing of faith. That we will be those that are balanced, those that really can get our hearts and minds around faith. In the previous weeks, what we've done is we've looked at one facet of faith. We saw that Scripture teaches that everyone has faith. The only question is, what do you choose to put that faith in? Who do you put your faith in? Is it in yourself or is it in Jesus? That's one facet. Then we turned the diamond round a bit and we saw, secondly, that Scripture teaches that God commands everyone to have faith and to use faith. It's a command of God. Different facet, different angle on faith. Firstly, it's a choice, then it's a command. Today, we're just going to tip the diamond round a little bit, get another beautiful glimpse of this truth of faith. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, as we're before you this morning, we're aware, Lord, that as we read in the Bible, these things are spiritually understood. I can't work them out unless you illuminate my understanding to really grasp and really take hold of these things. So I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would teach me, teach us what it means to be people of faith. And Lord, as we've started down this journey of growing in faith, Lord, help us not just to take on understanding, but to assimilate faith more and more in our lives and our daily decisions, that we would be a people of faith. God, we need your help. Lord, we really need your help. Amen. It's the story of a young man who was raised as an atheist. He was training to be an Olympic diver. The only spiritual influence in his life came from a friend who shared with him the message of the love of God, the message of the cross and the death of Jesus. He shared with him over a period of time. But it never really had any impact or any visible impact on this young Olympic diver. One night, the diver went into the indoor pool of the college at which he was studying. The lights were all off. The pool was dark, but it was the skylights, just as there are in here. And there was a bright moon, and light was coming in from the moon. And so the diver thought there was plenty of enough light to practice by. So he climbed to the top of the highest diving board. As he stood on top of that board, he turned with his back to the pool on the edge of the board. He extended his arms out, ready to dive. And as he did, the moonlight cast a shadow of his arms outstretched on the wall, and it was in the shape of a cross. Suddenly, all that his friend had been saying to him suddenly was very pertinent, suddenly made sense. And this guy knelt down at the top of that diving board and gave his life to God, opened his life to Jesus, and asked God to come into his life. As he got up, the pool maintenance engineer came in, switched on the lights in the diving pool. And as he looked down, he realized to his horror that the pool had been drained. And that as he stood there, he turned around, looked down, and he realized that if he hadn't have turned and given his life to God, he would have dived into an empty pool. What an amazing story. It's amazing because it demonstrates the supernatural working of God, in that man had heard the message of Jesus. He'd heard the story of God's love. He'd heard about the cross. And yet the timing of God in touching that man's heart and generating saving faith was perfect. That at that very moment, he turned to God, just at that very last minute, as it were. We're going to look at one of the facets of the diamond of faith today, which is to do with faith as a gift of God. Faith as something which is a supernatural deposit in our hearts of an ability to trust in God. Something that comes from God that's not in myself. Something that comes and is deposited in me from God. The ability to trust God. One thing that, as you look through the Bible, one thing that it makes it clear is that faith is indeed a gift. Today we're going to add to what we've heard before. Do you see that with our natural minds, when we're putting these things together, they kind of don't add up. You kind of get 1 + 1 + 1 and you get an answer of 10. Because you're adding the fact that faith is a personal choice that we all have, to the fact that we're all commanded to have faith, to the fact that faith is a supernatural gift of God. And that if we try and kind of simplify it, it kind of doesn't add up. But as we look at the full appreciation of what the truth of faith is, it does add up. It has to, because it's the revelation of God, and it's the revelation God wants to teach us about faith. So we continue our journey today in faith. As we look in the Bible about faith, it talks about two different aspects of faith, two different aspects of the gift of faith. It talks about faith as a gift, as a general thing that's for us all and for anyone. It's the gift of faith that God wants to deposit in our hearts. But also we see in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists some spiritual gifts. And there's a special supernatural gift of faith for specific circumstances, which is a limited supernatural gift. We're not going to look at that today. We're looking at this foundational level of the gift of faith for us all, for everyone. And I want to start, if you've got your Bible today, you'd like to turn to Ephesians, very famous scripture, one of the ones that you maybe when you became a Christian, you learned first of all. If you haven't learned this one, it's a great one to learn. It's a good scripture to learn. Is this scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where Paul's saying to the church in Ephesus, it's by God's grace. It's that God has given you the ability. Grace is God's enabling. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And then Paul has a little kind of parenthesis here about faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. So he's describing the work of what happens in a person's life, particularly a person in terms of coming to know Jesus, this that diver on that top of that diving board. What happened was something supernatural happened in his heart. God's grace came upon him at that time. The gift of faith was given to him such that he could believe. And he did, he believed. It's faith to trust in God for now. And it's faith to live my life. And it's faith to depend on the future for God. It's faith to live my life trusting in Jesus, following Jesus all my life. Have you ever had the experience of going on an aeroplane where you arrived at the airport and the flight was overbooked? I've had, I'm sure you have too. There's a story I saw reported, apparently a true story, of an airline who had this problem. And what happened was that they'd sold too many tickets, as is the case. And so more than expected people turned up to get on the plane. And they were stuck with a problem. What should they do? Anyway, one of the people had a brilliant idea. They lined all the passengers up on the tarmac by the plane. And they said, what we're going to do is you've got to run around the plane and the first person back to the steps, the first people back on the steps can get the seats. Apparently it's true. I won't tell you which country, but apparently it's true. And, I mean, that's kind of, for people that are elderly or infirm or kind of in wheelchairs, it's not kind of a very helpful way of allocating seats. It's certainly not what most airlines do when it comes to allocating seats. It's survival of the fittest. Who deserves to get the seat? This morning we're talking about faith as a true gift. You don't have to be fit and able to get it. It's a true gift from heaven into my heart. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Philippi in chapter 1 and verse 29. It's been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him. It goes on to say something else, but I don't want to focus on the rest of the verse, because it's just this bit, the first bit I wanted to focus on. But it says, you have been granted, talking to the Christians at Philippi, you've been granted to believe in Jesus, on him. There was some, God's been granted more, and the verse goes on to say that, but I wanted to focus on that particular bit about the fact we've been granted to believe in Jesus. It's out of the goodness of God, out of the grace of God. It's not a competition for the fittest that are going to get the prize. It's the sheer, abundant goodness of God that he's granted us the ability to believe, the faith. Something's happened, something supernatural. And this is so encouraging for us. It's so encouraging to know that we're not here just by choice, just by a choice we've made, or just by the fact that we are responding to a command of God. We are, and yes, they're true. But also, there's this other fantastic, wonderful knowledge of the fact that out of God's amazing goodness, he has deposited in our hearts the ability to trust him. And I want to really develop that this morning and help us enjoy that. Help us enjoy the fact that we've got something in our hearts that's a gift, a pure gift of God that's been put into our hearts. Max Lucado, that famous Christian writer, great demand public speaker, Americans, one of the story he tells, of the 1800s, there was an Englishman called Charles Bladlock. What a name. And Charles Bladlock was well known as an atheist here in London. He was an ardent atheist, arguing the case of atheism. His contemporary, a man called H.R. Hughes, stood up to him. He was a contemporary. He stood up in debates and argued the case for God. And there was kind of this kind of public kind of debate going on. On one occasion, H.R. Hughes, a Christian, challenged the claims of Bladlock. He suggested that they both recruit 100 people to speak on the benefits of their particular case. So he told Bladlock to recruit 100 people to espouse, give testimony to the fact that they were better off not believing in God. And then he would go and recruit 100 people to come and espouse the fact that they were better off for believing in God, and then have a public debate and see what would be the outcome of it. Hughes guaranteed he would have 100 people to tell how their life had been transformed by the power of Christ. On the assigned day, a crowd of spectators gathered. Hughes arrived, as promised, with 100 people ready to tell their story of the saving power of Jesus. Bladlock, the atheist, didn't even show up, nor did one person to speak on the power of atheism. Hughes seized the moment as many had gathered for the great debate. He utilized the testimony of the Christians and had them to tell how their experience of knowing Christ had changed their life. As a result, hundreds of those spectators came to know Jesus in a personal way. One of the things about the Alpha Course is every week on the Alpha Course, we ask one person, we invite one of us here in the church to share their particular experience of knowing Jesus and their spiritual journey. And it's so exciting. It's a real thrill to hear the amazing variety of stories, personal stories, of how God has worked in our lives to bring us to know. And the amazing thing is they're all different. We're all different. And yet one of the wonderful things about it is that it's all down to the grace of God coming and working in our lives and producing this saving faith, this gift of faith to trust God. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Ephesus. He's talking to the Christians. Some translations it says brothers, priests to the brothers, peace to the Christians, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessing them. He's speaking over them. He's praying. He's saying peace from God and Jesus, love from God and God the Father and Jesus the Son. And notice he says faith, faith. He's blessing their faith. He's saying faith from God. It's not from yourself. It's not something you've got to work up. It's not something you've got to try and grit your teeth and get enough faith to trust God. We haven't got to squeeze our thumbs and really try and work up some faith. Faith comes where? From God. And that's an amazing relief. Because whilst it's a choice and whilst it's a command, the other facet is it is from God. God deposits, does something in us. My grandfather, he's dead now, but my grandfather was a lay minister of a church in Barnsley. I was born in Barnsley, in Yorkshire. And at that church, you can go and visit it to this day, there's a beautiful brass plaque on the wall in Chinese with an English translation. And what it says on that plaque is that this plaque commemorates the church that Hudson Taylor was sent from. Now, Hudson Taylor, I've got his biography of his here, James Hudson Taylor. He was a very successful missionary in China. God used him powerfully. Amazing things happened through this man, Hudson Taylor. But one day, Hudson Taylor had a terrible injury. Something happened. Accident happened. He sustained a terrible injury. And I've got an extract here from his diary, where he kind of says what happened after he sustained this injury. The doctor told me to get a cab. This is the Hudson Taylor talking. The doctor told me, get a cab, drive home, and arrange my affairs quickly. For he said, you're a dead man. That's a very honest appraisal of his medical condition. My first thought was one of sorrow that I could not go to China. Because this was while he was preparing to go as a missionary before he went to China. But very soon came the feeling, unless I am greatly mistaken, I have work to do in China, and I shall not die. I was glad, however, to take the opportunity of speaking to my friend who was a confirmed skeptic. I was able to talk to him of the joy of the prospect of soon being with my master, telling him at the same time I didn't think I would die, as unless I were very much mistaken, I had work to do in China, and if so, however severe the struggle, I must be brought through. And he was brought through, and he was a man of tremendous faith, this guy, Hudson Taylor, a man who really trusted God, and as something was operating in his heart where he'd been told he was going to die and go and get your affairs in order, but he thought, no, actually, there was something stirred within you. Because interesting, his first thought was, okay, you know, that's what's going to happen. But something stirred within him. It was faith stirring in his heart. But in fact, no, that wasn't going to happen. Something else was going to be the outcome. Let's look at what the Apostle Peter said about this faith. He says this in the beginning of his letter to Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So Peter there is again explaining the fact that we receive faith. It's something we receive. We received a faith that's precious. What we have received is precious. What we've got is very, very precious. Who would like a gift this morning? A hand was first up. Bola would like a gift. Would you like to open it for us? Now, Bola was the first person to say yes, she wanted a gift. And the thing about a gift is that a gift has to be received. And that's the key thing. See, some people have explained, it rings a bell with me, some people have explained that the difference between a Christian and a non-person who isn't a Christian is simply the person who's a Christian has had the humility to receive the free gift from Jesus of forgiveness and eternal life. And that's as simple as that. And so the difference is simply humility. And Bola took a bit of a risk, because I might have had a custard pie down here, I don't know, or squirted her with water, I don't know what she might... It's always a bit of a risk. Whenever there's a gift on offer, it's always a bit of a risk. But the difference between a person who is a Christian and isn't is simply humility, in that a Christian has said, yes, I want it, and I'm going to receive it. And so today, that if you're a Christian here this morning, that some point in your life you've said yes, you've had the humility to say yes. And if there's any one of us here this morning who has understood lots about the Bible, come to church, know lots of things, but has never had the humility to say yes, like Bo did, yes, I'll have that, thanks. Then this morning you can say to Jesus, thank you. Thank you. And for those of us that have said yes, I want you to realize that you've been given something and you've received something that's, what does Peter say? It's precious. It's precious because it's powerful. What God's put in your heart and your life is supernatural. It's not just down to you. It's not something that depends on your ups and downs, on your moods. It doesn't depend on what's happening in our life. It doesn't depend on the circumstances around us. It doesn't depend on so many things. It simply depends on a supernatural God who has deposited something in us which is powerful, which is faith from heaven. A gift that we've got. And now that gift belongs to Bola. She can do what she likes with it. Hopefully she'll share it with us afterwards. That's my faith. But what you've got is fantastic. What is in you is precious. What is in you is beautiful. We're going to look in coming months ahead at the power of this faith that God's put in you. But do you know what? As I was thinking about, as I was praying and thinking about today, the thing that I felt really very clearly from God is God wants me, God wants you to be thankful. When you give someone a gift, what do? You say thank you. And that's the way you kind of receive something. You just say thank you. And I think, I believe that doesn't, that's not just initially when I ask Jesus to come into my life, but on an ongoing basis. I really think God wants us to be a thankful people. Sometimes when I look in my life and I think, where is my faith? I kind of, all these doubts and these questions and this sort of all these kind of things. And I say, well, it's possible to say, well, where is my faith? I question my faith. I doubt my faith. I have unbelief about the faith. You see the kind of how perverse the whole kind of thinking gets. And yet, we saw a couple of weeks ago, the man that brought that child to Jesus to be healed, he said, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. And there's this competing faith that God's put in my heart, which is strong and supernatural and incorruptible and from heaven and precious. And then there's my entertaining unbelief. And sometimes the unbelief shouts so loudly, I kind of think, where has my faith gone? And I want to really encourage us today. Our faith's gone nowhere. If you've received that gift, it's yours. It's in your heart. You've got faith. You have faith. You may be experiencing some unbelief that can crowd out and can to some extent can deafen us to the power, the faith that God's given us. And the way to move forward, I believe, is in this attitude of thanksgiving. Saying, God, thank you. Thank you that you have given me faith, that this faith is precious. All these verses we've looked at today, they're verses to learn and meditate and thank God and say, God, thank you that it's faith from God. Thank you, it's a gift from you. Thank you, I've received it. Thank you, I've got it. Thank you, it's mine by your grace. It's lovely. Remember that first verse we looked at where it says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. Grace is simply God giving us his divine ability to do the things he's called us to do and be the people he's called us to be. And so simply that faith is mine. God, thank you. Thank you for that gift. It's so easy. It's so easy. And that's why sometimes we can not do it. Sometimes we can miss it. Sometimes we can get all kinds of our confusion in our minds because I'm not coming back to the simplicity of what it means to say thank you. God, thank you. As I start to thank God and praise God for what he's given me, the faith he's given me, unbelief evaporates. Just as the light comes and the shadows go, as I thank God and praise God, as I thank him and praise him, what happens? As I thank God and praise God, what happens is that unbelief just goes. And that the faith that God's given me starts to work powerfully in my heart. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord God, Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you. Just as we're really quiet here this morning, and if you've never had the humility to say to Jesus, thank you so much, now is your chance. Say, Jesus, thank you so much for this gift of faith. I receive it. I'm going to take hold of it. I'm going to take hold of it, and it's for me. Thank you so much. And if you know you have taken hold of it in the past, then this morning is the morning I believe, to say, God, thank you for the supernatural, precious faith that you've placed in my heart. A powerful faith. A faith to live by. A faith that overcomes the circumstances surrounding my life. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.